As I read this passage of Scripture, and I think about Jesus as he has left the area of Galilee and has been journeying over the last several readings that we have had and in the last times with his disciples, he has been journeying on a time maybe of personal reflection, maybe a time to think of what has happened to John the Baptist and what is going to happen to him, maybe. He has been journeying in that area where good Jews don't participate. He is in Capernaum of Galilee. He's in Caesarea of Philippi. And he is there with his disciples in this region where there are these gods. And here is the god Pan in this area. And he's the one that's half man and half goat. And there is a spring bubbling up there. And it nurtures the Galilean Sea and is the beginning of the Jordan River, or nurturing the Jordan River. It is thought that this cave is the entrance to the underworld, the afterlife. And outside of this spring area, there are festivals that take place that are immoral. And no good Jew would be found in this area. It is in this area where Jesus looked at his disciples and he says, "Who do people say that I am?" You know how Peter responded. We talked about that if you were here last week when he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And now as we look at this passage of Scripture, here is the same Peter who is now not the rock. But Jesus said, he's a stumbling stone. He's the one that speaks the voice of Satan. And Jesus rebukes him to his face and says, "You are not thinking the thoughts of God, but you're speaking evil. You are speaking those words that are not true. You're looking at the human side." When I read this passage of Scripture early in last week, I found a book again on my shelf, and I took it home and read. It's called The Wounded Healer by Henry Nowy. I reread the book, and I thought about those experiences that enable us to be effective ministers. I thought about those who have been wounded that now understand what it means to reach out to others. I reread this passage and I thought again, I said, what is it that Peter found so depressing? What is it that Peter could not hear? As we reflect upon maybe our journey of faith and think about those things in life that sometimes get in our way, what are those demands that seemingly cause us to shy away from the responsibility of being an effective disciple, or of being the church that Christ calls us to be? I am reminded of Jesus' encounter with Satan when he first started his ministry there at the Jordan. When after being baptized by John, the Bible says he was driven into the wilderness, and there he encountered Satan. And Satan was saying to him, "Let's make a deal. If you will just fall down and worship me, I can give you this kingdom. Well, look, why don't you take this bread? You are hungry, and turn it and take these stones and turn it into bread so that you can be nurtured. Why don't you cast yourself down off of this pinnacle and let's see the angels of God as they respond to your needs. As I think about that encounter, and I think about those that I have known or read about that have, quote, made a pact with the devil, those who have been willing to give of their good name and their integrity for some of the vices or the monetary gains of this world. If anyone had a reason to cut a deal, maybe it was Jesus. He could skip the hard part. He could have all of this. He could move to the head of the line. I remember a few weeks ago when some young people were asked that were not the most successful individuals in life. They had not been born on some of the most opportunist places. And someone said, how do you see to change your lot in life? And the response over and over again from these individuals were to win the lottery. Nothing about studying hard or working toward a good education. Somehow or other to have something given to them that they had not earned. Sometimes as a church, I think we look for the easy way from time to time. One young man said to another one, he said, I understand you bought a new automobile. How in the world could you ever afford it? The fellow replied, I just canceled my church pledges. And the first one said, gee, I wish I could buy a new car for that little. Henry Nowy wrote about the ministry in a contemporary setting in the book, The Wounded Healer, that I referred to. As I thought about what it meant to be an effective minister, an effective church, I thought about several years ago, to be exact, 1965, at a summer camp when I was one of the youth persons there. And I was told by some of the directors that because I was working in the area of youth ministry, that I indeed could sleep at the minister's cabin. And so while I was there in the minister's cabin with all these various ministers, there was one particular minister that really intrigued me. I enjoyed listening to him. I enjoyed talking with him. And I went to him one day and I said, Reverend Simpson, how do you get what you have? I will never forget what he told me. He looked me in the eye and he said, I bring my body under subjection. I make my body do what is right and what it might not want to do. And as a young person, he spoke in the area where I knew something about, and he said, in class, when I'm tired and my mind begins to wander, I say, look at here, body. You sit up and you listen to what this man is talking to you about, or this woman. He said, because they have something that you need to hear. Now you sit up and you take note. As I think about what it means to be a disciple, the first path I think that leads to the good discipleship and success is that of self-denial. Zig Ziglar tells of visiting the Washington Monument, and as he and his party approached, he heard the guide announce that there will be a 2-hour wait to ride the elevator to the top of the monument. However, with a smile on his face, the guide said, there is no waiting to go to the top if you're willing to take the stairs. Successful people know that there is no limit to what a healthy, reasonable, intelligent person in this world can accomplish if he or she is willing to climb the stairs, to pay the price. Peter was not hearing what he wanted to hear. He wanted a better way. I can imagine that Peter was thinking, maybe I need to go back to fishing. He wanted, I suspect, to continue this journey of popularity, of feeding the multitudes with just a small loaves and fishes, or healing the sick as they come to you, and the suffering and the dying and all that. In human terms, that just couldn't be, because it was the end. In his perception of humanity, there was no hope if there was death. This just can't be so, Lord, he says. Isn't it amazing that here at this place, with these disciples, Satan apparently is speaking through one of Jesus' closest allies? Christ recognizes it. These evil words were not coming out of the cave that perceived to lead to Hades. They were coming out of Peter. I thought about that country song so long ago that said, oh Lord, it's the devil. Would you look at him? Never thought he would have blonde hair, blue eyes, and blue jeans. Never thought he would be so good looking. Maybe as a church, one of the struggles that we have is that we do not acknowledge that the devil is out there, speaking those words sometimes that we would rather hear than not, to rob us of our victory, to rob us of our peace, calling us to follow his lies, hidden in the most subtle ways. I could imagine Peter at this moment in time was lost. That sick knot in the pit of his stomach. Is this what I joined? I imagine he could have said to himself, to become a martyr? And as we reflect upon these individuals with Christ at that time, this is where the leadership of the church for tomorrow was going to come from these men. The reality is not for us to conform the church into our reality, but to be transformed into the reality that Christ has for us. Now, today, we are the leaders. As we listen to God's directions in our lives, as some of our students go back to school in these next few weeks, and some have already returned, there will be choices. Asking God for whatever he or she would have us to do. During the Los Angeles Open golf tournament a few years ago, Arnold Palmer, a legendary golfer, was interviewed while practicing on the putting green. Arnie, he was asked, "What do you feel was wrong to make you play so poorly this past year?" Without looking up from his putting, Arnold answered in his own direct way, "I wasn't hard enough on myself. That's all." 2 hours after this brief interview, the same reporter came back to find Arnold still practicing on the putting green. The reporter concluded the greatness of Arnold Palmer is his choice of the hard way. We also know that self-denial is essential to the salvation of the world. Our world, our church, faces tremendous challenges. Do we care to act? Some say when the going gets tough, everyone leaves. That's what happened to Jesus. As the way got harder, the numbers dwindled. Until we are reminded that he died on Calvary alone. Yet if he had been unwilling to lay down his life, the world would have never known the love of the Father. If those early disciples had not picked up Jesus' cross and followed after him, we still would not know about that love. And if you and I do not pick up the cross in our time and make those hard choices and assume those difficult responsibilities, our children's children will not know the old, old story of Jesus and his love. Jesus says to us, "Let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." That's the word we desperately need to hear. One other word I would like to add to this sermon is we affirm the day of Pentecost in our church year. But the day of Pentecost should mean more to the church than just one day that we celebrate. It should be a time when we remind ourselves that we are called to listen to God's Spirit as for direction in our lives and in our church. Sometimes our inner person does not necessarily want to fulfill what God wants for us. It is for us to be transformed. To be transformed into that image that Christ calls for us to be changed into. There are voices in our world. There is the voice of God. There are those destructive voices as well. And we as a church need to be offering better deals than the destructive offers that Satan gives to the world. God's Spirit is there to lead us. God's holy presence is here to guide us, to nurture us onward and upward as a church, to share the hope of Christ with those that we come in contact. Again, I remind you, Christ says, let us deny ourselves, take up His cross, and follow Him. That's the word we need to hear. And that, my brothers and sisters, is not the easy way. Amen.